Now, today's sermon, Jesus heals a paralytic. And the paralytic, there's no space in the house, and so they break through the tiles of the roof and they let him in. Now, this is a lovely, lovely story because, it's short and sweet, it's a happy ending. And in this story, Jesus heals him with his words. Now, Jesus heals many people. As we see in all the Gospels, he heals everyone. Simon's wife's mother, he rebuked the fever and it left her. To the leper, he said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And sometimes Jesus can heal without needing to say anything at all, such as when the woman who had the flow of blood touched him and she was healed. But this man, he says to this man, he goes, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus makes a special point that he didn't say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, there are two reasons why Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The first reason is, if you notice at the start of this reading, it says that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. All right, so Jesus had an audience of all the teachers of Israel. And in the King James Version, it actually says the doctors of the law. And Jesus deliberately says, your sins are forgiven in front of this audience. And he did that to show them that he is the Son of God. And it said that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The people that were meant to be healed that day were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But instead, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees aren't healed because they rebuke Jesus afterwards. But the man with his paralysis is healed. Now, he says this to the man because the removal of that man's sin was his greatest need. If paralysis was his greatest need, he would say, get, rise, take up your bed and walk. But because that man's greatest need was his sin, he said, your sins are forgiven. Now, it is very fitting that this man's affliction is paralysis, because paralysis, like sin, paralysis is like sin. So how does sin paralyze us? One type of paralysis is when we think we are okay, and we go to church and we pray here and there, but we're not okay. That is a very dangerous type of paralysis. But there's another type of paralysis which I'd like to talk about today. This type of paralysis is the thought, or is thinking, when I stop sinning, when I start praying, and when I fix myself up, then I'll turn to God. All right? Another type of this paralysis is saying, is knowing that. Is we think that God will not answer my prayer because I'm a sinner. This is another type of paralysis. So what do I mean by this? So, yes, I know God exists. I have faith, and I know miracles happen, and I've seen miracles happen. But because I'm a sinner, God will not do a miracle for me. This is another type of paralysis. Now, all these types of paralysis, where God won't heal me because I'm a sinner, God won't help me because I'm a sinner, I can't get close to God because of my sins. These are all lies from the devil. The lie from the devil is this, that the devil tries to convince us that God's love for us is conditional. We think, okay, I've been a good boy for a week, okay, after a week of being a good boy, then I can talk to God again. But what ends up happening when we think like this is, instead of us talking to God and knowing God again, we start to spiral further and further away from God. And this happens to me personally. I need a miracle, but I think, man, I'm such a sinner, God's not going to do a miracle for me. So I need a miracle at work, but I'm so bad, God's not going to help me. I need to find a husband or a wife, but because I'm so bad, God's not going to help me because I have to fix myself up first. Or, this sickness isn't going to leave me until I fix myself up with God first. See, the problem is we do have faith that God can do it. God can fix anything. But we don't have faith that God will do it for me. Now, I've got good news for you. God is not like us. God is not conditional. And God doesn't wait for us to be in a good condition before he can heal us. So I'd like to remind you all of these points. God is good to us no matter how bad we are. God wants the best for us more than we want the best for ourselves. And no matter what you have done or how often you sin, God is ready and quick to forgive you completely. Knowing these three things will help us to never be in this paralysis, never to be in hesitation in getting back to God. So we really need to trust in God's forgiveness. One person that really trusted in God's forgiveness was King David. Now we know King David had a heart like God. And we also know that he sinned quite badly, where he took another man's wife, got her pregnant, and then killed him. Now, King David's response to that sin, after he was rebuked by the prophet Nathan, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you." So King David, despite being such a sinner, is saying that he's hoping so much in God's salvation that he will in turn turn sinners away. Another person that I'd like to bring up, and another story that comes to mind which illustrates God's mercy, is King Ahab. Now you guys may know King Ahab. King Ahab was the worst king of Israel ever. Him and his wife Jezebel were the worst. They allowed all of Israel to worship Baal. They even tried to kill Elijah. They killed a man to take his field. He was the worst king possible. So God's had enough of this Ahab. So Elijah comes upon him and he says, God is saying that he will bring calamity upon you. You will die. Your kids will die. There will be no remembrance of your name. All these horrible things to Ahab. And Ahab responds in a very unusual way. He clothes himself in sackcloth and ashes and he fasts. And he went about mourning. And then the Lord said to Elijah, he goes, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days." So the king of Israel, who made all of Israel sin, even he was forgiven by God. That is how merciful God is, that God had mercy on him. So if God can have mercy on Ahab, won't God have mercy on us? So what must we do? We must do what Ahab did, and we must humble ourselves. To humble ourselves and to give up our will and give up our ambitions and give up what it is that we want in our hearts and to say, "God, whatever you want," that's what we need to do. Now, during Passion Week, we criticized Judas, not because he sinned, but because he did not return to God and ask for his mercy. Yet we fall into the same sin every time we hesitate before we return to God. We say Judas mocked the blood of Jesus by not accepting God's mercy. But we also mock the blood of Jesus when we take our time to return to God. Now, God doesn't care if you sinned 1 minute ago, 1 week ago, a month ago, or a year ago. He just wants you. How can we possibly think that after dying on the cross for us, that Jesus will hold our sins against us? Whether sin stops you from coming close to God, or if it's your laziness, or if it's your nature, God is not the same as we are. A story that comes to mind to illustrate this point is something that happened to me when I was 12 years old. I was playing in the car park at church, playing soccer with my friends, and I was having the time of my life, literally the time of my life. And a servant comes out, and he takes the ball and he gives us a reason why we can't play soccer. But my little 12-year-old mind could not fathom why he's taking this ball. So instead of being obedient and just walking off and doing whatever he told me to do, I started making fun of him. Now, he had a crooked nose, and so I made it clear to everyone that his nose was crooked. And I was making fun of him, and my friends around me were laughing. I think Paul Finus was one of them friends laughing. And so that made me feel a little bit better, because he ruined my day. I wanted to ruin his. And then, I don't know if it was the same day or the next day or the next week. I'm not sure when it was. But this servant had organized another soccer game. And he was having the soccer game in the car park, and he was clearly the organizer. And I felt very small because I wanted to play soccer. And I made fun of this guy, and I wanted to play soccer. And I didn't know what to say to him. And that's us humans. Humans, we hesitate to come back because we've done something wrong. So anyway, I went back to him because I had nothing else to do. And I said to him, can I play? And he goes, of course. And he made out like nothing had happened. Like I had not said anything wrong, that he had completely forgot how I had made fun of his nose. And God is like that. That we, because of our sins, we feel that we've upset God. And yes, we have upset God, but God will not hold it against us. So don't be scared to go back to God and ask to play soccer again in the car park. All right? Don't hesitate to go back to God at any time. So back to the paralytic. Now, Jesus saw that this man was paralyzed. He knew that the man can't walk, he can't feed himself, he can't support a family. He knows that the man has no prospects in first century Israel. And just like that, God knows about our problems. He knows that we need a better job, we need to buy a house, we need to find a spouse, we need to do X, Y, Z. We have this sickness, we have these problems. But that is not God's main concern. God made it clear in this miracle that his main concern is that we're united with him. And that's why the first thing that Jesus said to the man is, your sins are forgiven. That I'm going to be united with you again. Don't worry about your paralysis. All that can be fixed. But God really wants to be united with us. So God only requires of us one condition upon returning to him. And that is to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves just the same way that I had to apologize to the guy before I could play soccer again. Just like Ahab humbled himself. We need to put our wills aside, put our ambitions aside, and to humble ourselves in front of God. So do not let sin paralyze us and slow our return back to God. Remember that God does not behave and hold grudges like humans. Trust in his mercy, and glory be to God forever. Amen. Yeah.